How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. Maxbond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started.
Save big money at
Next Man Up 102.5 The Game. Happy Friday, Nashville. Jake Lyman joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio live in studio. Parker Kelly at the controls. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Going to be a fun show today to wrap up the week. And we've got Max with us for the full first hour. And the Preds still on break. But we had a lot to talk about with Max. Olympics rolling on, semifinal games today, and the Preds are back just 6 days from now at Bridgestone Arena, so a lot to get into here.
Yeah, Preds are back practicing. If anybody's driving around this morning, there will be a practice at 10:30 at Centennial Sportsplex that is open to fans.
Love it. I saw they did like a kind of mini Olympics, right? It was the Americans, the Ontario group, and then everybody else, right? I saw somebody tweeted about that. It was either you or Alex Doherty.
Well, our group is way less diverse internationally right. Without our four European Olympians, so... We have there's 17 players right now who are here, and only two of them are from Europe, so they couldn't do a Team Europe. But yeah, Ontario became its own country.
There you go.
When you have Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos, Luke Evangelista, and Michael Bunting, those are the Preds' best offensive players who are here right now. So they got it done, a little half ice 3-on-3. So that was fun yesterday at practice, and you never know what they're going to pull out. So yeah,
I love it. Excited for the Preds to get back on the ice, taking on the Blackhawks next Thursday to come back out of the Olympic break. We're going to talk a lot of Olympics. I do want to, before we get going on hockey, send our condolences to the Rucker family. I know the reporting coming out this morning, Wes Rucker, longtime reporter, Tennessee Athletics, passed away in a car crash yesterday. So was hoping it was just horrible rumors yesterday, but the reporting came out this morning that that it is true. And so I did not know him personally. Parker, I know you follow Tennessee Athletics. I don't know if you ever got a chance to meet him, but just sending our condolences, our thoughts and prayers over to their family and just horrible events out there in Knoxville yesterday. So I just wanted to say that. And again, as Robbie and Joe said at the end of their show, we will try and pass along any information that we have about GoFundMe or anything if anybody wants to try and help out. So I did want to start there, just horrible news yesterday and keeping them in our thoughts and prayers. And we'll continue to talk through that later on in the show as well. But let's talk some hockey here, Max. It is a big day. And actually, you know, let's start by going backwards. The last 2 days of hockey have just been absolutely phenomenal. The quarterfinal games, I listened to Smashville Live, and I know you were talking with Barry Trotz about how about three overtime games in the quarterfinals. And then yesterday, the women's team comes back, scores in the final minutes to tie it, send it to overtime, and just a ridiculous goal from Megan Keller to give the USA the gold. Awesome days of hockey, and hoping it continues through the weekend.
The men's Olympic hockey tournament, I feel like every game has been closer than it should have been on paper.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Then all of a sudden you get the elimination games and every game's going to overtime. And the favorites won in all of them, which is the crazy part. Like, these teams are able to push the big dogs to overtime, backs against the wall, and none of them were able to get the overtime goal.
It was crazy watching the Canada-Czechia game on Wednesday, where it's like, man, it looked like Czechia had them on the ropes. And I know they scored that goal with six on the ice, but, you know, they didn't catch it. It's not cheating if they don't catch it.
It's unbelievable that none of the players or coaches from Canada notice.
I know. And watching the celebration when they all meet on the glass after the goal, and there's six of them in there. And it's like, I don't know how nobody caught that until after it happened. But that was an unbelievable game. would have been crazy to see the Canadians go down in the quarterfinals. They were able to just barely do enough to get it to overtime and then obviously win. And the Americans against Sweden, there were some tense moments there sitting on my couch watching that game after they gave up the goal in the final 2 minutes. But like you said, all the favorites tested were able to sneak through and get onto the semifinals. Sets up some really great games today.
Yeah, and Slovakia is no joke.
No.
That is going to be an interesting matchup for Team USA. I like Robbie's confidence that they will win 5-1 that he said half an hour ago here. I think that is definitely within play. But look, these games have all been so close. I don't think you can expect anything like that. And for the women's gold medal game, that whole tournament, even in the first USA-Canada game, USA just killed everybody.
Yeah.
And you knew the final was not going to be like that.
Right.
Marie-Philippe Poulin didn't play in the prelims game for Canada-USA, and the USA won, what, 4-0?
Sounds right. Yeah.
But you knew that gold medal game was going to be so close, and Canada locked it down. Like, these teams play each other 10 times a year, so it's more of a team matchup,
right,
with real game planning,
yeah,
than,
yeah,
the men's all-star team type situation is. And the USA has owned Canada, and Canada knows this was their big shot to get back at them. And look, they almost won that game. I felt very confident that USA had a game-tying goal in them. And then overtime, I don't think there were really any great chances before the goal. And look, that was one of the biggest goals in USA hockey history for Megan,
yeah,
Keller. That was a dirty goal.
Right.
Oh, my God.
What a way to win the, yeah, gold medal. Like, not only scoring the game-winning goal, but doing it the way that she did, that was awesome.
Yeah, and the Canadian defender that she dog-walked is Claire Thompson, who's one of their best D. Like, I mean, anybody who's on the ice in overtime in the gold medal game is going,
right,
to be an all-world player, but, like, to do that in that moment, and Keller's a defenseman too. And
right.
Kenny Albert made great note of that on the broadcast as soon as it happened, that this is a defenseman up front on 3-on-3, and that's what USA hockey is right now, I think, for the men and the women, but especially the women's team. Like, for that 3-on-3, for that shift, it was positionless hockey. They took what they were given, and they scored a massive goal.
Right.
So it was unbelievably fun, and I'm glad so many people got to watch that. Because the other games of the women's tournament, like, were almost too easy.
Yes,
and
they
you knew that game was what they were saving it for, and they played amazing.
Your thoughts in general on 3-on-3 for a gold medal? I think 3-on-3 is fine throughout the tournament, but I think once you get to the gold medal game, you got to play 5-on-5 till somebody scores.
I'm fine with it. I really like 3-on-3. We've talked about this before. I really like shootouts also. Shootouts for a gold medal is a little too much. But for regular season, I have no problem with shootouts. The one interesting thing that I saw tweeted yesterday, like, there should be a separate event of 3-on-3 hockey at the Olympics.
There should.
Like,
I mean, they're doing it for
basketball
now, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be really – it might be the same players,
right,
which might present an issue. Or if it's different players, I don't know. Like,
maybe could you do it where, like, the NHL players can play in the 5-on-5, but you have to use amateurs for 3-on-3? Like,
yeah,
that, I think that's kind of how it's been done in the past. Well, maybe not amateurs, but I know it, for basketball, it is different players that they use for the 3-on-3 versus the actual team basketball. So, no, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
It would probably be on a smaller rink, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about it as its own event, but I think that'd be awesome.
You should. I'm sure you've played ones in Chell. Could we get that? That's my favorite game mode on Chell, is just like the little half rink and just go around hitting people and one goalie playing against three skaters. I love it. Let's make that an Olympic event.
And you can control Team USA.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Today, I think we are set up for a great day of hockey. I am with Robbie a little bit of Canada and the U.S. both got their scares on Wednesday. I do wonder if maybe there's a, all right, let's lock in. We've got to figure this out. But you just never know in these types of games. Slovakia and Finland are both filled with NHL players. I'm excited to see how this turns out. We've got Canada and Finland coming up in right about 30 minutes, and then the USA and Slovakia coming up in the afternoon. We're one step away from that vaunted Canada-US gold medal game. Do you think we get there?
Yeah, I mean, until one of them loses, you know, like, we've all known it's coming the entire time. So, and Canada had their scare. I do think Canada is the tougher matchup today. I think Finland is loaded. And if Alexander Barkov weren't hurt long term,
yeah,
I think Finland would have been right up there with USA and Canada as favorites in the tournament. Like, they are a really good team. They're not deep on defense, but you just ride Lindell and Haskinen as much as you possibly can. I am a massive Nico Mikkola fan. I know he is a flawed player in a lot of ways, but, like, I love him in an Olympic playoff game. And there's a reason the Panthers just gave him a big contract. Like, he's an awesome second pair defenseman for a tournament like this where the physicality does happen. So I think he's a good player for them to have against Canada, but, like, if they get him an open ice against MacKinnon, McDavid, Celebrini, then maybe you got problems. But I think it's going to be Lindell and Haskinen playing 25, 30 minutes today. And obviously, Juuse Saros is going to have a great game, and he's made a lot of saves. He's got a goals against average under two, and they're going to need him to be huge against an all-star team times 10.
Yes. No Sidney Crosby today for the Canadians.
Oh, is that official
yes,
now?
Yes, he is okay. Out. So thank Connor you. McDavid is going to put the C on today. No Sidney Crosby, but yes, it's going to be a tough test for Juuse Saros, one of two Predators playing in that game. Erik Halla also playing for the Finns. When we come back, we'll talk about the Predators and how they performed around the Olympics. Of course, those two still playing. Roman Josi falling to Finland in the quarterfinal matchup, and Philip Forsberg falling to the Americans in the quarterfinals back on Wednesday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call if you have any thoughts, questions for Max. We'll get to those throughout the first hour of the show. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Max Herz from Preds Radio, Parker Kelly with you on your Friday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you. Max with us for the full first hour talking Olympic hockey. We'll get into the Preds in a little bit here as well. Hoping to hear Freebird a couple of times today. U.S. taking on Slovakia for a spot in the gold medal game. 2:10 puck drop in the second semifinal. We are getting close to the start of semifinal number one. Canada and Finland coming up around 9:40. And two Predators playing in that game. Juuse Saros, Erik Halla. And for Saros, it was a slow start for him in the first game against it was Slovakia.
Yeah.
Did not have his best stuff in that game. But I think outside of maybe a couple of bad moments, he didn't have a great play against Switzerland where he kind of threw the puck behind right to a defender and ended up to a forward and ended up giving up the goal. But overall, I think Juuse Saros has bounced back well after a slow start.
Well, if nothing else, he's used to starting down 1-0, 2-0, and then letting his team come back. So he's just getting it right in his wheelhouse there. Yeah, I think the worry was that if they lost the first game, for me personally, I was worried that if they lost the first game that he wouldn't keep playing.
Yeah.
And he's played every game. So they've ridden him. And look, you've seen with Sweden and what happened with Philip Forsberg. Like, these coaches have got different guys who are in and out of favor based on how they've played in previous tournaments. And Saros did not survive the entire Four Nations. Kevin Lankinen ended up starting one of those games. So that was why I was worried that if he lost the first game, even regardless of what his personal performance was like, that they would change it up. And they haven't done that. They know he's their number one, and maybe it would be different if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen weren't hurt, because I think he would have been the number two.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't even been Lankinen backing up every game. Korpisalo has backed up some. So, no, he's their guy. It would have been foolish to go away from him.
Yeah.
And look, today is one of the biggest games of Juuse Saros' life, if not the biggest, going up against Team Canada.
Can guarantee himself a medal if they win, and I think that's why I think everybody kind of wants the Canada-U.S. game. But for us around here who follow the Preds, it's like, I'm good either way. Finland wins, makes it maybe a little bit easier for the U.S., and one way or the other, either the U.S. is winning a gold medal, or like Juuse Saros and Erik Halla are bringing gold medals back to Nashville. So I'll be rooting for the Finns in this game. I know I want U.S.-Canada too, but like, I'd be okay with the Finns upsetting the Canadians today.
Yeah, I think a lot of us would have liked to see Czechia pull it off the other day too. So
yeah,
it's fun to root for the upsets in this, and Not that who we're cheering for affects the game at all, but I really like Finland, so I think they've got a shot here, and I think Erik Haula has shown really, really well, which I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Look, he plays his game. I think Haula has been a great pickup for the Preds this year. I've been very pleasantly surprised with everything that he's brought to the table. And I think he's on an expiring contract. I think if the Preds do choose to trade him, I think he's a player a lot of teams would want to be a middle six center for a playoff run this year. So I think he's given the Preds everything they could ask for and more. He was not supposed to be the second line center. He's become the second line center, and it's happened with the Finnish national team too. He just keeps commanding minutes. Yeah. He plays really important minutes. He's involved offensively, and obviously he does a ton of penalty killing, which is his main job, faceoffs, PK, D-zone, but he does a little bit of everything.
Haula and Saros playing to get into the gold medal match today against Canada. And two other Predators, of course, Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, also competing over there. Both fell on Wednesday to end their tournament run. We'll start with Roman Josi. I thought overall, Josi, from what I saw, some of their games were at the 5 a.m. puck drop, so I didn't wake up for all of them. But I did enjoy seeing Roman Josi out there. I thought he played well. He scored against Italy in the playoff game to get into the quarterfinals. But the Swiss team, we kind of talked about it. Like, there are NHL players and good NHL players on the Swiss team, but they don't quite have the depth that some of the other European teams, the Canadians, the Americans have.
Yeah, but they are a team, and they're coached year-round in a lot of ways, even with the NHLers there. Like, those guys are at world championships every chance they can get, and it shows. I mean, they punched above their weight, and once Fiala got hurt, you thought they might not have enough offensively, but Timo Meier really stepped up. I thought he played incredibly well, and I mean, they were at the point where they really only had one forward line of NHLers after Fiala got injured. And Hischier was as good as you would expect. Josi had the puck a ton. Nino Niederreiter played great. And they really deserved to beat Finland the other day. And ended up losing that game late, which I think was disappointing. Because I made a prediction that they would be the surprise bronze medalists, and I was pretty close to getting that right, and I did realize yesterday that my men's medal prediction actually ended up being the correct women's medal prediction, so we're going to say that was my prediction for both tournaments.
So you got, USA, Canada, Switzerland. We'll say that you got it right. And honestly, you're right. They were you're up 2-0 in that game, and you win. All you got to do is not go 0-2, and you win a medal. Like, that's what's great about once you get to the semifinals. So a good chance for Josi Saros, Erik Haula, to come back with some hardware, even if they aren't able to beat the Canadians today. Philip Forsberg was kind of a focal point around here during the Olympics, and it was strange the way he didn't play early, and I know that there's been some complaints about the way the Swedish coach kind of maneuvers his lineup. It was was it Jesper Bratt who was the extra skater on Wednesday against the U.S. and didn't get a shift until the third period? A little bit strange how he does that, but Forsberg increased his minutes on the ice every single game leading up to that loss to the U.S. on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it ends up being a better story, more positive because of that. I don't know what. No, and nobody knows.
It was very strange to see
what kept Phil from playing.
The tweets of like putting out the lines, and it's like Forsberg sitting at the bottom, and I'm like,
yeah,
really? He's not one of your best 12 forwards.
It's. I mean, the good thing was it wasn't just like Preds people going crazy about it on Twitter. Like, everybody knows how ridiculous this is. For the leading scorer in Preds franchise history to not be playing more. And I mean, as soon as they started playing, he started producing. So. I think it ended up okay. It seems like everybody in Sweden is really unhappy with this coach, so we'll see if they make a change. I don't know. There's nothing really else to say.
Right.
It's funny. Steven Stamkos got asked about it. He was like, "Yeah, I'm not too involved in the Swedish national team decisions, but I think it's weird."
Steven Stamkos isn't consulted on all that.
He should be. He would have been able to figure it out more easily.
Right. That's probably true. So the Predators sending four over there. Good chance to possibly take some medals back to Smashville. UC Soros and Eric Halla taking on Canada in about 20 minutes over there in Milan. You did mention Kevin Fiala, and before we move on and actually talk about the Predators, how do you think his injury maybe affects the way that NHL teams view using their players in the Olympics? Because I know that's been a big discussion of the injury risk is obviously large when you send your players over there. Do you think this could mean that maybe we don't get NHLers again when the Olympics return in 2030?
Well, I think there's already a chance that it doesn't happen again.
Yep.
The league was not too crazy about it to begin with. But I think if it were just Fiala, I don't think it would have been enough, but I think once Crosby gets hurt,
yeah,
then it becomes
that's
something.
True. Yeah, and he's not playing today. We don't know how serious it is. I believe they announced that it may not be long enough to keep him out for the entire tournament, so he could be back for the gold medal
match.
It
looked really serious.
It did not look good, but they did not rule him out for the entire tournament. So a chance he could be back on Sunday in the gold medal game. It'll be interesting. I understand both sides of it. Like, you don't want to stop these guys from representing their country, but also it is you have investments in these players, right? And, like, you don't want to lose a key piece of a championship-type team in a game that doesn't count for your hockey team, right? We're seeing it with the World Baseball Classic right now, of all these players having to get insurance to be able to play in the World Baseball Classic because teams are worried that they're going to lose a player for the entire season. So it is something that has to be dealt with over the next couple of years.
Yeah, first of all, I'm behind on that story, so you'll have to tell me not on the radio what is – I know the basics of it.
Yeah, I'm not like super in tune with it, but I know that like guys have been getting denied insurance policies that would cover them if they get injured in the World Baseball Classic.
And the team wants them to be denied.
I don't know. I'm not 100. We'll look at it during the break, and maybe I know that that's been an issue though. Is like guys are worried to commit to the team before they're insured because they don't want. Maybe the team has a clause in their contract of like, if you get injured not playing for our team, we're not going to pay you.
Well, was it Carlos Correa? Bad Bunny said he was going to pay somebody's insurance, and MLB was like, this isn't a good idea. Was it Correa?
It might have been. I mean, yeah, that would make sense. World Baseball Classic is going to be a lot of fun, but that obviously this is an issue across all sports. It's like, you have investments in these players, and when they're playing and it's not part of your organization, there's going to be issues with whether they have to pay you.
Well, one other thing I'd thought about was, could the NHL play a few games during this and just say, like what happens with MLS? Like, the players are on international duty. They still got to play a little bit without those guys. And look, the Preds weren't one of these teams, but looking at reporters tweeting, like, here's who's at practice today, the first practice back for some other teams, I was like, I don't think they can play a game like that. The Preds would be okay because they have the majority of their top six. I mean, they're missing their goalie, obviously.
Right.
But, like, you could use the backup goalie for every team who has a goalie in the Olympics. I don't think there's any team that has
both,
two goalies
yeah.
in the Olympics that I can think of.
Let the Preds play the Oilers during the international break. No McDavid, no Draisaitl.
Yeah, let's schedule those guys right now.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We are just over 10 minutes away from getting back on the ice for Olympic hockey. Finland and Canada in the first of two semifinals today. We'll keep you updated on how that game's going throughout the morning. Today, Vanderbilt Baseball hosts Maris at Hawkins Field at 2 p.m. You can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville app with pregame coverage starting at 1:45. Coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura, and we will be joined later in the show by the voice of the Vandy Boys, Andrew Allegretta. He will come on at 11 o'clock. We'll talk about the start to the season for Vanderbilt and what to look for this weekend against Maris. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly with you. We got Max for 30 more minutes here talking hockey. Olympic hockey continuing today. Two semifinals, Finland and Canada, just 10 minutes away. the U.S. and Slovakia this afternoon. Gold medal game is set for early one, 7 a.m. on Sunday, which I guess Max and I are both pleased about. I don't know when you have to get over to Memorial on Sunday, but I will actually be able to watch it before shoot around, which will be great. I was worried it was going to be like mid-morning.
It's the same time it always is. People are mad that it's so early, but the closing ceremony is always that night.
Right.
So that's presumably at noon or 1 Nashville time.
Yeah.
So it has to be early.
Right.
Are the Olympics done for good on Sunday?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So the men's hockey final, I think, is the last event.
Okay.
Wow.
There are a few things before that on the real early side Sunday. A curling. Curling just never ends.
I know. I was about to say, it is crazy how much curling there is in the Olympics, because I feel like every morning I turn on this TV and there is some sort of curling on. It's still going on. The U.S. and Sweden, or sorry, Switzerland, are, they're coming down to the wire here.
They've been playing since yesterday.
Wow, look at this formation we've got.
This is the semifinal. Oh, yeah, they've got, that's pretty good for the U.S.
I'm making that up. I don't know anything about curling. I know the rules, but
I have
every time I watch, I'm like, this is the strategy for this?
This is the 10th end. This is it. So the U.S. trying to tie it and get into the gold medal game.
Well, we're losing and we don't have the hammer, so that does not bode well.
What does the hammer mean?
You go last.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It is hard to score in a round where you don't have the hammer, I believe.
Gotcha. That makes
I may
sense.
Be saying incorrect information, but that's my understanding.
Anyway, the Olympics wrapping up this weekend, and excited for the two hockey games today and then the gold medal game coming up on Sunday. But also excited because NHL hockey returns next week. The Predators back on the ice at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, taking on the Blackhawks. And they really don't give you a whole lot of a ramp-up period here. The Preds come back Thursday and play 5 games in 7 days, all before the trade deadline. So this is going to get fast and furious quickly for the Preds, 4 points out of a playoff spot as it stands right now, and trying to prove to Barry Trotz in the front office that he does not need to sell off too much of this roster coming up towards the trade deadline.
Yeah, and it's interesting games. The Blackhawks are, I think, the team with the fewest Olympians. I think they only have one. I think Tara Vinen is their only one. So they're going to have a whole week of practice together.
Right.
So you think that could play into their advantage. But you never know, coming off a long break. And it's not like the Preds have a huge group coming back like the Panthers or the Avalanche do. If Finland plays on Sunday, if they win today and they play Sunday, and either way, they're playing again tomorrow. I don't think Saros would be back in practice until Wednesday. And I think it would probably be the responsible thing to do to not play him in the first game back. So, and I think a lot of other teams are going to have to make decisions like that with guys coming with all the games they've played over there and overseas travel. So, Blackhawks are always a tough game. Hawks have played the Preds pretty well this year. I like where they're at right now in their build. They have some intriguing young guys. I think they could be in a different place if they had gone with a forward instead of Artem Levchinov, but Levchinov is starting to prove himself on the back end. I don't think he's a big name player yet for them.
Yeah.
But Preds Blackhawks always going to be a great game. So that's a great one to come back with, be on home ice. And then 2 Saturdays from now, the Preds are in Dallas against the Stars, who are one of the best teams in the league. That is also going to be a mom's trip for the Preds next
awesome.
Week. So we'll have some Preds moms in town next week, and they'll head to Dallas. It's the first time in a long time the Preds have had a mom's trip instead of a dad's trip. So looking forward to that. And then they come back home. I want everybody to know there is a Monday afternoon game.
Right. Is it a 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
Puck drop against
on
Detroit?
Monday, March 2nd, 2 Mondays from now. That game was the NHL approached the Preds and asked, hey, this is coming out of the Olympics. Would you guys be interested in this so we can have a true televised showcase game in Europe?
Oh, awesome.
On teams with your prominent European Olympians. So it's a spotlight, Moritz Seider, Roman Josi, and on down from there on both those teams. And from a hockey perspective, the Preds were interested, one, because
it's a back-to-back, right?
So the next day the Preds play in Columbus, and the Blue Jackets do not have a back-to-back, so it helps them rest and travel-wise. But also the Preds are always really receptive to ideas from the NHL, and that's why they've been to Europe twice in the last 4 years. That's why they've been in a road outdoor game and a home outdoor game. That's why they've had two drafts. That's why they've had an all-star game. So I would encourage people, first of all, no one works anymore anyway, right? As the old people say.
Yep.
1 o'clock on Monday, March 2nd. Skip whatever you do
you
for your job.
You can get a half day.
Yeah. Come to the game because if it does show well, I think this is something that could stick in the future. And I actually think it's a really good idea, but I think it's a good idea to put it on national TV in America.
Chase, if you're listening, I'm sick that day.
Yeah. We actually,
well, yeah, you're done at noon. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, Parker, like we could...
I want to get there early.
We're going to be leading right up to pregame coverage, so we'll pass it off to Max, and then we could just
head right over
to Bridgestone.
Do your show at the arena.
Oh, you know, we should.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk to Chase about that, and then we could just
That's
hang out for
doable.
The game.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Parker, I won't tell George.
I'll tell George. I'm sick that day, George.
George. that'll be fun, and it's a great week of hockey leading up to the trade deadline. But these games are important. The Predators, again, 4 points out of a playoff spot right now. What kind of feel do you get for how important these games are going to be in terms of the trade deadline? Again, we've said it multiple times when you've been on. They're not going to be buyers. They're going to be more sellers. It's just the extent of how much they're going to sell, and that probably depends on where they stand in terms of the playoff spot over the next week or so.
I think the level of offers that come from other teams is what decides it the most, actually, more than how the Preds perform. I think the Preds have shown everything they can be. And honestly, I think even if they won those games, if they win every game, if they go 5-0, like I don't think it proves anything they haven't already proven. You know, I think they've shown that this group is performing at its peak, and you know that it can always get better come playoff time, but I think that it's based on the level of the offers received.
Yeah.
So that falls more on other teams. And Barry Trotz said on the radio earlier this week that nobody really wants to do anything yet. It could be a crazy last week before the deadline.
That's why the deadline leads to so many trades. It's like these teams want to wait so long to see what they need and how aggressive they need to be to go get it, right? And so I would guess it'll probably be a flurry of moves if they do make them towards the very end. And is it March 6th is the trade deadline, that Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. So coming up 2 weeks from today, the trade deadline, and I would fully expect to see some moves from the Preds. You mentioned Eric Halla, expiring contract, one-year deal type guy. I could totally see them moving off him. Michael Bunting is another name that we've thrown around there. The big one, of course, is Ryan O'Reilly, and we'll have to see if that knock-your-socks-off offer comes in for Barry Trotz, because he said that's what it's going to take if he's going to move on from the Factor.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the most valuable players in the league.
Yep.
So I think an offer like that, if you have multiple teams bidding, I think it could happen.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got one more segment with Max. We'll continue to talk about the Preds. Also had a special guest appearance on Smashville Live on Wednesday from Barry Trotz. We'll talk about some of the things that he said during that radio appearance as well. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst from Preds Radio, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly with you. Olympic hockey semifinals are underway. Finland and Canada, 3 minutes in, still scoreless. We saw UC Saros make a nice little save there early on.
He just made another really
good
one.
Jake
has his back turned, unfortunately,
yes.
Because the good people at NBC have not put this game on actual television, so we only have it on one TV.
Yeah, that
Saros has stopped Celebrini twice. In the first 3 minutes.
Is it just on Peacock?
Right now, yes, is what it looks like.
Oh, my gosh.
What a combination to stop there. McDavid to Celebrini. Saros able to keep it scoreless early on. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the show today. Winner to the gold medal game, the U.S. taking on Slovakia later on in the second semifinal. Do want to congratulate our good friend Adam Vinyan over at DVD. He just tweeted out, changing his bio, that he is now a father of two. Arlo and Elizabeth.
All right.
So congratulations to Adam and their family over there, adding a new Vingan to the household.
Congrats to whatever listener it was. What was the name?
Elizabeth.
There was, so we now know the one listener out there from DVD who texted in and got it correctly, who wins tickets because of it.
There you go.
But they weren't going to reveal who it was until after the baby was born.
Right. So we will have to see. But congratulations to Adam, great member of DVD, which is coming up at 3. I'm going to assume Adam will not be a part of DVD today. Spoiler alert.
He better be. Baby's born. It's 9:47. Show's at noon.
Right. You got almost five hours to get ready, Adam.
Oh, show's at 3. Yeah. What am I talking about?
Connor Newt is not going to be with us today because I believe he is filling in on DVD. So congratulations to Adam and the Vingan family.
I thought you were going to say Connor had a baby, which...
That would be,
he's not ready for that.
Yeah,
yet.
No, he is not. That would be tough. Anyway, wrapping up here with Max, we got a couple more minutes with Max Herbs from Preds Radio. Max, you had Barry Trotz on Smashville Live on Wednesday, which I thought was awesome. I went back and listened to it, and some really good stuff from him. We've learned from Barry Trotz. He's a longtime coach, but there's no coach speak with him. He's going to tell you exactly what he's thinking. Some old stories about his time on the road. It was with Kenny Albert, right? Like, that's who he was on the road with in minor league hockey. Like, just great stories from Barry Trotz, along with all of the other stuff, of course, that you get into about the Preds.
Well, this story is in Kenny Albert's biography, which came out, I think, last year, or autobiography, that Barry Trotz got him thrown into a Nova Scotian immigration prison when the Baltimore Skipjacks were going to play. I don't know. I think he said Cape Breton was where the team was at that point in the AHL or the IHL. But yeah, pretty funny. We were only talking about that because one of our fans brought a Barry Trotz card from the AHL or I guess it was the IHL.
Wow. Then,
when he was coaching. Yeah, pretty cool that an AHL coach would have a card.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so that was a good pull. I think that was an eBay pull. But yeah, it was cool to, first of all, great crowd again at Smashville Live. We've had amazing crowds the last few months. We only have 2 shows left this year. Our next one, sadly, isn't until Wednesday, March 25th. But so down to 2, we've had 8 out of 10 for the whole season. But yeah, it was a really good occasion to get everybody together, talk through things with Barry Trotz, celebrate his legacy as he makes the announcement that he's retiring here. And we talked about a lot of memory lane Pred stuff. He also talked more detail than we'd heard about when he specifically decided.
Yes, that he was going to bring this up, that when it was the Sweden trip that honestly was one that kind of opened his eyes that, hey, he's ready to be more around family and not miss quite as much as he has in the past.
Yeah, he said one of his granddaughters goes to something called World School, which sounds like the coolest thing ever. But I guess portions of his family travel so that his 5-year-old granddaughter can go to school in different countries, which is really, really cool. And I wish I could do that.
That sounds amazing.
I didn't know that existed. Yeah. But they're in Spain right now. So he took the opportunity after the Preds played in Sweden, instead of returning straight to Nashville with the team, he stayed back with family and was with his family for his granddaughter's 5th birthday. And he said with this granddaughter, it was only the second time out of 5 birthdays she's had that he's been there. And flying back from that, he's like, you know what? It's not going to be 2 out of 6. So I really wanted to talk about that because he showed so much emotion in the press conference announcing his retirement,
right,
but cut it off at the point where it was going to get more emotional because he didn't want it to be that type of day. So being able to talk about this specific moment with his family where he realized, hey, this is who I need to be with. I think it's great. And I think we have a really special chance over the next few months. And I mean, it'll extend beyond that because Barry Trotz will go into the Golden Hall and he'll still be around and he's staying in Nashville for sure.
Right.
But we've got a really special chance here to celebrate his legacy. And I think it's the perfect way to end it with him being part of choosing the next direction and being able to propel the Preds forward.
Yes, and it was great to hear from him again. Yeah, the story about going and seeing his granddaughter, and you're right. That's probably something he didn't want to get too deep into in the press conference, where it's like that kind of setting isn't where you can get emotional and really get into detail. But First off, World School sounds amazing, by the way. It's like I imagine like the semester at sea that I've heard some people do. It's like they go to school, like it's like Suite Life on Deck, where you go and do school on a cruise
ship. I think semester
ship.
At sea is like a year off on vacation.
Basically,
World School it World sounds school, like you're growing up, learn every language. Like that's useful,
right? I mean, it's setting you up for success, right? You're not only learning what everybody else is learning, history and math and all this stuff, but you're learning different cultures and different languages. So anyway, thought that was cool to hear about, but also great to hear from Barry Trotz, the why for him, why it's important for him to step away now. And I'm excited for this GM search to ramp up. As Bill Haslam said, they've got their line in the water first, and I'm sure that these couple of weeks have been important for them, just laying the groundwork of this search. They've got plenty of time to go and find Barry Trotz's successor, but I think having this time off where you're not worried about games, you're not worried about all the hectic chaos that comes with being right in the middle of a hockey season, maybe has been good to allow them to set up a foundation for this general manager search.
Yeah, it's a rare moment where some of the candidates really are reachable.
Right.
Because otherwise it would be right before the trade deadline, and maybe it wouldn't be a good time to start soliciting resumes and calling people.
Yeah.
But with the transaction freeze going on, it's a great time for that. As the team said, we're not really going to get formal updates, and they're going to try and keep information to a bare minimum, which I think is good because I think they're going to cast a really wide net. And if you were here, hey, this person has been contacted, like I think a lot of people are going to be contacted. So.
Right. You could compare it to the Titans head coaching search of, I think the Titans kind of wish they didn't have to put out all of the names that they interviewed. It's like,
is that an NFL rule?
Yes. You have to announce it because a lot of it's because of the Rooney rule. And like you have to interview in person a certain amount of minority candidates. But like, do you think the Titans wanted to put out there that they interviewed Jason Garrett for the head coaching job? I don't think so. So I'm sure with the Preds, like they did say, hey, we're telling you now that we're starting this search. The next time you hear from us is when we're introducing the next general manager of the Nashville Predators, and I think that's great.
I was going to say that an NFL team should just like interview a random person
Condoleezza
and put
Rice.
Them on the list. Yeah, I was going to say, but that happened when the Browns interviewed Condoleezza Rice.
Well, I heard the story about that. I think it was Schefter was telling the story a couple of weeks ago where he said that he talked with somebody, and they said, yeah, we're looking into interviewing Condoleezza Rice. And Schefter, before he reported it, texted the person and said, hey, you're serious about this? I can report this. And they said, yep, go ahead. Schefter reports it, and then 30 minutes later, the Browns come out and vehemently deny that they were ever going to do it, which is just...
Oh, they didn't actually interview
her?
Yeah,
they basically set him up for that. But anyway, yeah, that it's good for the Preds that, again... They're the first ones getting a look at these candidates, and you have Barry Trotz in place who, you, as they said, Barry is going to do what's best for the Nashville Predators until they find his successor, and you get this amount of time to set it up, and as they said, hopefully before the draft, there will be a new general manager of the Nashville Predators.
And I've been thinking, like, are a lot of teams going to be changing GMs this summer? Like
I don't know.
The only one that I can think of that I think really should is Vancouver. I mean, it might be, there might not be a lot of GM changes this offseason.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's always a factor too, right? Is what other jobs are open, how many candidates are interested in taking a job like that. So it'll be an interesting offseason and down the stretch here for the Predators. Again, Nashville back in action on Thursday at Bridgestone Arena against the Chicago Blackhawks coming off this three-week Olympic break. Finland and Canada about halfway through the first period. How about Finland outshooting Canada 7-3 at this point?
Good team. Honestly, if they had Barkov, I think they would have been a co-favorite with U.S. and Canada. And also, we need Russia back in this thing, plain and simple.
Yeah. It'll happen at some point. Obviously, there's a lot going on there. But
I think the next Olympics they'll be back in. But I mean, I guess Ovechkin will play even if he's 80. But.
Right. 50-year-old Alex Ovechkin coming out onto the ice. Max, always a pleasure having you in. We'll do it again next week when we will actually have some Nashville Predators hockey to talk about. So excited about that.
Yeah, we'll see everybody in Smashville on Thursday night.
Yes, Thursday night, Preds and Blackhawks back from the Olympic break. We'll take a quick break as well. When we come back, we'll talk some Titans. want to ask the question. What is your bold prediction for the Titans offseason? We'll give ours coming up on the other side. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. Maxbon Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started.
Save big.